Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Once again, Mid-Flight Brawl is brought to you by our good mates at Heaps Normal. The legends over there have whipped up some award-winning, like world award-winning, non-alcoholic, delicious, independent. Ooh, Peggy's just cracked one then.
Bit of froth, just like a even better than the real thing.
Beautiful stuff. Non-alcoholic beer. If you're looking to have a break off the sauce or just break up your night with a couple of tasty non-alcs, Heaps Normal is your drop. If you want to order them online, heapsnormal.com, chuck in duty free at checkout for free shipping around Australia. But, mate, we got in at the bottom and now these guys are in some 7-Elevens. So
billionaires, I reckon. Like when it started, to be honest, you had to put in a stubby cooler because it was embarrassing. Now no one cares. Just get around with it. I'll just get around. Like that. Who gives a shit?
I think King Charles had one the other day. The scepter of non-elk. They handed it to
him. You got someone else to open it for him, obviously. Couldn't get those fingers under the ring pull.
My liege, yeah. He's fucking big old chipolata fingers. I'm obsessed with his hands. I can't stop looking at King Charles's fat fucking fingers.
It's not quite wrong there. It's definitely not frostbite. He's never done anything. There's something wrong.
Something's going on. I don't know if the cuffs on his shirt are too tight. Something. I don't know. Something has happened. If you want to have a good laugh, if you're feeling a bit, had a big Easter, feeling a bit shitty, my body's not in tip-top shape, grab a Heaps Normal, open it with your normal fingers and then Google King Charles hands and have a fucking good old laugh. Anyway, I digress. Heaps Normal. Get them in ya.
Hey, I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. Throughout human history, there have been countless scuffles, melees and fracasses. When planes were invented, we didn't magically just stop belting the shit out of each other.
So ladies and gentlemen, strap in, kick your shoes off, recline your seat without checking, drink your duty-free and start staring aggressively at strangers. This is Mid-Flight Brawl.
Mid-air madness, passengers trading blows.
Mid-air brawl on board a Scoot flight from the Gold Coast.
At LAX.
Thrown off a flight from Bali.
A disruptive passenger on board.
Cussing, screaming, spitting, even urinating.
Many of them have been captured on cell phones.
Where's the lady that started the
talking to me!
I hope this crashes. Out the fucking door!
Welcome to Mid-Flight Brawl. Any tip rat can fly now, and here's what happens when they do. I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. How are you, mate?
Mate. Living the dream. How are you going? You just had your big show at the Enmore Theatre.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, it was pretty good. Made a few fumbles, which really fucking annoyed me, but I don't want to dwell on it. I just can't stop thinking about it. I've forgot a couple of things. But, yeah, it was good. Overall, pretty good.
The worst, I reckon the best and worst bit about stand-up, the worst bit, it's not like music. Nobody wants to hear the hits.
Yes.
They want to hear new shit.
Yeah.
But the best bit is... nobody knows what you're going to say. So if you forget a bit, who cares? No one knows.
I know, but in a way, I'm not doing it for them, am I? So I know.
It's a very selfish art form, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But it's
straight
the best
back
one.
Down to size, though, I'll tell you what. I just got home from a gig. We're recording this about 9 p.m., had an early gig, and it seemed to be going really well. And I was closing. What they needed was a headliner. They didn't need me. Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh, no.
It was grim.
What happened?
They just, from the start, did not like this guy.
Again, also, the best bit about comedy, the best gig is not far away from the worst one.
Oh, it was, they hated it.
Sometimes back to back.
It was. It was.
As much as I'll never forget Dwibblegate 2016, my appearance on Conan O'Brien in America, my first gig after was three nights later in Canberra at Floriard Festival, a fucking tulip festival.
Done it.
And the downpour, the rain was so heavy, rain was coming through. We're in a tent and the rain was hitting all the electrical equipment around me. I was getting rained on in a tent on stage and it was hitting my sunburn from California. The fuck is this?
Was it bad, the gig?
No, the gig was actually fine. The rest of the, it's normally three nights, I think. But after the first one, the weather was so horrific, it got called off.
Called off, still got paid.
Becky Lucas and I just got to get maggot at the hotel for 2 days.
Unbelievable. What Pretty a result. Good. You're the king of that. That's never, ever happened to me. So many times you get paid for work you don't need to do. It has never, ever happened in my life.
Mate, the ad? My favourite is the ad, the bloody the Telstra, the Samsung ad about 10 years ago.
Phenomenal.
I did an ad for the Samsung Galaxy Note, I think.
Whatever.
Note, whatever.
Exploding it was one.
The one that started exploding on planes.
Mm.
And bad luck for Samsung. For Nicholas Jeffrey Musco Cody.
Yes.
To be fair, that was fuck all money though. I just did that because I had to pay rent.
Yeah, but it's free money.
Free money's pretty good.
Never had free money.
No, I'm not complaining about free money.
Yeah.
Speaking of gigs we got coming up, hopefully these are all good, back to back. Perth, live mid-flight brawl this weekend, May 13th, 3 p.m. at Oasis Comedy Club. Sold out. Gonski, a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
That filled out. Thank you very much to everyone in Perth. We'll see you there. We've added two new shows on our Jetstar Handcuffs Tour. Or what are we calling it?
Yeah, that'll do.
The Jetstar Handcuffs Tour, the Drinking My Duty Free On Board Tour.
Yeah.
Newcastle and Brizzy. Newcastle, June the 3rd at 4 p.m. at the Gal. That is already half sold out, mainly due to Patreon members. But Brisbane, hooly dooly.
Yes.
Your home, my temporary home in 2020, July 14 at 9 p.m. July 14th, 9 p.m. at Good Chat Comedy Club. Patreon members have snapped up those tickets. There's a handful left.
Yep.
So if you're listening right now and you're not in our Patreon, fucking get around it. Patreon.com/midflightbrawl for our spin-off pod, Land Larrikins, early access to Epps, early access to live tickets. That's the main one because Brisbane, going, gone.
Yep. In a way, sucked in if you miss out.
So, absolutely.
No one to blame but yourselves.
Great news though, Heggy, this week, again, thanks for everyone sending us messages on our Instagram at Midflight Brawl. The DMs are fucking blowing up. I'm way behind. If I have not responded, Heggy, you do have the login, but I don't think you've ever logged into it.
I don't have the login.
I would have given it to you ages ago. It's fucking chockers. The DMs are blowing up.
You know what
happens
though? I probably did it once. When you log into something else on Instagram, you're not in yours anymore, then that's it.
Yeah, you can have both and switch.
Well, flick between. Not on my phone, mate. You can't get back in.
You can on your new phone. You're on an iPhone 12, mate.
Yeah.
You're humming. You're in the future, buddy.
Yeah, but
you should be doing TikToks and everything.
I don't know. Something with mine doesn't work. Same as when like someone on your computer gets in their own Gmail or something, you're fucked.
Man.
That's it.
Nobody touches my shit.
Well, good luck because you've got a 4 to 1 year old. Wait until they're 12 and 15, buddy.
No, Luch has,
you don't
my
own
wife
shit.
Has no idea about computers. I just constantly get, Nick, I just in that tone where I'm like, I'm helping with IT here.
Yeah.
And I've always been the IT kid. I don't know. Did I ever tell you that my primary school was so poor that I was the IT guy in like grade 3?
You're the IT professional.
Yeah. So they're over the intercom, like, Nick Cody, come to 4D. And I just have to walk down the hall and they're like, our mouse is broken. I go, all right, let me have a look. I'm 7.
Man.
I'll fix this for you.
This was a bashable offence in the 80s.
When no one knew how to use computers, man. It was the time to be
alive. You would have been called
nickcody.com
at my school and had your head flushed daily.
Hey, it's like that, where did I see it a few months ago? I think I brought it up on here. There was a boxer who was saying his two favorite activities are boxing and ballet. And they're like, ballet?
Ballet?
Yeah, loves ballet.
But it turned out he didn't know what ballet was.
No, he knew what ballet was. And he said, because if you're a good enough boxer, you can do ballet and no one's going to say shit.
Right.
I like having to learn another sport just so you can enjoy the one you really
love. No one's calling him Twinkle Toes.
Absolutely not. Learn how to fight first. Everything else will fall into place. But
I don't know.
The DMs have blown up this week. Bloody hot off the press. A Frontier flight, New Jersey to Atlanta. The female passenger was voted off, which is pretty good.
I saw that. Very nice.
Passenger in a red shirt and glasses asked the pack cabin, if you want to remove from the flight, raise your hand. I'm not even kidding. If you can hear me, raise your hand if you want to remove from the flight. I'm not even kidding. I got 40 hands up. She just started doing a weird head count.
Was this an FA doing the convening the vote?
No, this was a passenger.
Oh.
And what I love, now this is Daily Mail, so I'm not sure how correct it is, but the woman was voted off the flight for reportedly antagonizing a couple who had earlier been booted off for arguing with a flight attendant.
Oh.
So it's an absolute trash on trash crime.
Was the person convening the vote one of the couple who'd been booted off another flight?
Like, I'm not sure. I haven't seen the full video yet. I've just read the article.
Right. Once again, they've come in halfway through, had a vote, maybe voted off the victim rather than the perp. As we're coming in halfway through and going, good on them.
Mm.
People vote for the right thing here. They don't trust the people.
A lot of pointing, a lot of people standing up and pointing. Frontier, that's a Jetstar or Tiger in the US. Yeah. It's not quite Spirit, but it's down there.
Yeah. There was another thing hot off the presses where there was a dildo hanging from the ceiling or something.
But yeah, very good. Someone had stuck a dildo to the roof of a cabin. We got sent the little text screen in the cockpit.
Yes, like teletext.
Yeah, it looks like teletext. They can write to other planes, and I assume to
it's on a 386, evidently. It's that green Space Invader style font.
All caps. And the pilot's written, dealing with disruptive PAX passenger who stuck a big black dildo to the roof of the cabin. Couldn't find a code for that.
Right.
I bet Jetstar have one.
Yeah.
One.
Smuggled some super glue on board. There you go.
Code BBC. All right. Before we get into the ep, Heggy, obviously, if we're doing an intro over Zoom, you have got a Zoom background with a dark past attached to it. Now, this looks, I'm going to say it looks fun. It looks American. Oh, it's got that American summer camp font. I'm thinking Adam's Family Values.
No, I would have been, you know, not always murder. I've stopped watching murder for a while, actually.
Oh, that's not, you ran out?
No, I didn't run out at all. It will never run out. No, it's sort of been, you know, something uplifting. This is a Queensland home.
Oh, it's Queensland. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The home is Bethany. Now,
John,
I don't know. Besides it being your favourite you girl's name.
I'll tell you what town it's in.
Yeah?
Kingaroy.
Kingaroy.
A certain peanut farmer.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not clicking.
Okay. Well, it's before your time. He could have been Prime Minister, this bloke, if we all did the right thing.
I don't know. Joe Biocchi?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Joe Biocchi's place. You know, Kingaroy. A man for the people. Joe Biocchi Peterson. Gave so much of his life to Queensland that he wanted to make it a country. And, you know, he's in charge of it for 20 plus years. So what a bloke. Just an all-round great bloke. In fact, RIP straight off the presses is Sir Terence Lewis.
Yeah, didn't he? His main.
Born too soon. 95.
His main. Main cop.
Yep.
Main cop, mate.
Main cop.
What happened there?
Was 73rd in line to get the job. Beat everyone else out, didn't he?
Don't worry about it. It's a fucking Stephen Bradbury of Queensland Police.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what. I loved living up in Brizzy. I love visiting Queensland. Being on breakfast radio, we've got news stations on behind us on TV in case anything breaks or whatever.
Yeah.
Just fucking grim news out of Queensland. I don't know why. I don't know why this beautiful tropical state just has 13-year-olds stealing cars and crashing them into pregnant people and whatever the fuck else is happening.
Yeah.
Seemingly every day. It is busy with crime.
I mean, it's been around for hundreds of years. Lowies have been infesting the nicest places there are. That's a lot of things they're not good at. What they are good at is moving to the beach. And you go, fuck, that's a nice beach. Oh, hang on. Everyone's doing squealies in the car park and there's fucking, you know, there's nangs underfoot. It's more nangs than bitumen here to walk on.
Yeah, you think it's like a European stone beach?
Yeah.
It's just nangs. It's just empty nangs in the sand. We're in Blackpool. Nah.
All right, mate. We better boot on. Let's get it done.
Let's get into it. All right, mate.
This week, we're looking at a JetBlue flight, November 21, 2022.
Whoa.
Yes.
Fresh.
Real fresh. New York to Salt Lake City.
Nice. Get the drinks in before you land in Mormonville. They've only got mid-strength there.
What, in the whole city?
Yeah. I believe you can only get mid-strength beer.
Bullshit. Really?
That's what I've heard.
It's not a commune.
Mate, it's just a massive
big population of Mormons. It's not an actual, like, they don't own the joint.
That's what I've always heard.
I find that weird. I'm sure.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm an idiot.
Well, no, but you know.
All types. Fuck, I'm a goose.
Don't talk yourself down, mate.
Current Utah law is set to limit 4% alcohol by weight.
All right. On everything.
At grocery stores and stuff. Yeah, that's weird.
All right. Well, good on them.
It's got its own Wikipedia page, Alcohol Laws of Utah.
All right. What? The whole state's got alcohol laws that prohibit you from getting strong alcohol there.
So, yeah, grocery and convenience stores, but that 4% by weight is actually 5% ABV.
Right. Which most beers would be about that anyway.
Yeah. Beer over 4% by weight, over 5% ABV is available in state liquor stores. There you go. I just want a bit of the bloody ka-ching.
They don't really drink strong beer there anyway, do they? Their beer's disgusting.
No, America's got, yeah, they're either like all low 4% or for some reason an 18% stout.
Yeah.
That makes you fucking spew immediately.
For the tough guys. Good stuff.
The neck beers.
Mate, a bit of a step back in time to September 21, 2005, a classic JetBlue stack.
A stack?
Classic stack.
Okay.
A flight from Burbank, where your hero, Snoop Hot Diggity Dog, did a lot of his work.
Sorry, we've gone heavy on the sounds early.
Yep, screaming his own name. From Burbank to New York's JFK, they got up this JetBlue flight and saw there was a problem with the landing gear not retracting properly. So they flew over Long Beach Airport so officials could have a squiz under the plane.
I remember this story when it happened.
It's a bit like, is there a big zit on my back? Can you check for me?
Well, it is one of those frustrating things, I assume, being a pilot, is that you can't see, you know, you just don't know. And you can't get out. You can't pull over and just have a look.
Well, you should be able to just go down there.
What do you mean? Like Arnie in Commando?
Does he go down there?
And just drop out the wheel well into the shrubs?
Well, you're not. He was already in the wheel well, wasn't he?
No, he was sitting in the cabin. Remember, he elbowed his mate in the face and killed him.
Yeah.
Put the hat on his face and said, don't bother my friend, he's dead tired.
Yeah, I remember that.
Then he somehow got down into the wheel well. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, right.
He did it.
Well, you should be able to get down there and just pull the thing up. Stay low.
Is this the one where they flew past and the landing gear had gone sideways?
Yeah. The nose wheel turned 90 degrees. They said, nah, it's not good looking good. It's sitting side. You know what you should do?
Canted.
Fly around for 3 hours, burning off fuel so the plane's nice and light.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying for passengers for as long as possible. I wonder why does that occur rather than dumping the fuel out on some marine life all in one hit? Then I found out.
We have had some listeners hit us up and say they drop it from high enough altitude that it all burns up in the air, which...
No, not buying that.
Bullshit.
It's probably even worse.
Yeah.
Then I found out, though, that the Airbus A320 does not have the mechanical capability to dump fuel.
Oh.
So they just did figure eights for a few hours, landed at Lax to take advantage of the long runways and state-of-the-art safety equipment. Plane landed with the front wheel sideways, like a homemade go-kart or a shopping trolley. And by the time they came to a stop, the front wheel was worn down to a semicircle.
Oh, holy shit.
No other real damage. Yeah.
Rim ride in the A320.
Yeah. Everyone just walked off safely, including screenwriter Zach Dean, who, you'll be happy to know, during the ordeal, vowed if he survived that he'd write a film about mortality, and he did. And it was 2012's Deadfall with Australia's Eric Poyter Banner in the lead role. So every cloud.
I've never heard of that film.
No, I don't think many have.
Mm-hmm. Deadfall.
Don't know. There have been, 67 nose wheel failures since 1989 on Airbus A3-something planes, series planes. Seven of them were the exact problem of the front wheel turn the wrong way, like a fucking trolley with some chewing gum in the axle. So, I mean, it doesn't sound, sounds like a lot, but it's not really in the scheme of things, the amount of times they go up. But, fuck, there should be something to free up a sideways wheel.
Well, actually, don't, as grim as that is, it's not the worst, the worst, like, plane manufacturer just skipping over something. It's not the 737 MAX.
Yeah.
With the old, hey, if you want this thing to, what was it? It was making planes fucking auto stall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they were like, you can pay extra for that not to happen. And a couple of countries went, nah, that's all right. We'll just tell our pilots what to do when it happens. Forgot to pass that news on. Brown bread.
Mm. Clock it up as pilot error. this week, this bloke's name, it's three names, and I'll give you $1 million in unmarked, non-consecutive $50 notes if you tell me the name. I'll give you, in fact, I'll give you one of the names. You can keep the million.
Yeah.
Give you two of the names, and I'll give you $100 if you guess the third.
All right. Give me
this
two.
This will test your mettle. Give you two names. What are you? It's three names. You want the first and the last, the first and the second?
I want the middle name and the surname.
Okay. Daryl Fackrell.
What?
That's the second name and the surname, Daryl Fackrell. So looking for his first name.
I'm going to, you know what, I'm going to go a bit of alliteration here for the first. I'm going to say Damien Daryl Fackrell.
Nah.
Just because if you've got Daryl as a middle name.
Yeah, Damien Daryl, DD. They do like that. I like the cut of your jib, but his name's Merrill. Merrill Daryl Fackrell. 41 years old.
So he's angry already getting onto this plane.
Should be. He's from Syracuse, Utah, about 50 clicks from Salt Lake City. In June 2021 in Syracuse, a bloke and his mate thieved some shit from the Walmart about 5 p.m. One fled in a car, the other one on foot. And the one on foot hid under a deck in someone's backyard, but then he couldn't get out. Bit of a tight space. Next thing you know, some kids were playing 5 days later and found him under the deck.
Oh.
Brown bread. Like a castle built upon a sandy
beach.
Not too
soon. Oh.
So that's the sort of brain trust we're looking at.
How'd he get in and not get out? Was he like a cat's cock? You have barbs or something on him? He couldn't.
I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing he's been eating a bit of Walmart food or something.
Yeah, I was going to. Did he just steal lollies? Just fucking tuck into them underneath?
But if you're under someone's deck, you're in trouble. I mean, you just cut your losses after a day or something, go start yelling.
Yeah.
Let me out of here. Pull my feet. Dig a hole. Get me out. I'll face the music. But nah, too proud. Brown bread.
I do, there is something about that, though, that I do appreciate.
Sticking with your plan.
Yeah.
Commit.
You think he'd just slowly die? There's no way. You wouldn't die from lack of hunger.
There's not much information. Maybe he whacked his head or something. I don't know.
Bit of a gas leak under the house.
It could be. Who knows? All sorts of problems can happen under houses. They're not pleasant places. Merrill, though, he was sitting in a window seat next to a married couple. I mean, we say that, but what does that even mean these days? I've been hearing more about openness in marriages and poly and a bunch of other buzz topics closely related to some other shit that's doomed for failure. So who's to say when you sit next to a single bloke that you're not bound by social convention to be in a thruple or some shit? I don't know. Anyway, Merrill's confused. He's consumed several alcoholic drinks throughout the flight and started a conversation with the wife sitting next to him.
Merrill Daryl.
After a while, the lady put on her headphones, started watching a movie. Classic. If you can't get that hint, you shouldn't be traveling alone.
It's number one.
I had a fucking bloke do that to me not that long ago. I put on headphones, he kept talking. Had to pull it off and go, what? What do you want to say? He just, dickhead. Anyway. She said she could hear Merrill continue to talk to himself wasn't really paying attention to him. I reckon the conversation with himself would probably be something to the tune of manners being out the bloody window these days. You know, people just start talking.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you have to do to get a hello out of someone? That's all I wanted. Just trying to be polite, you get snubbed.
Go back to the blokes in the early 90s. Just assume a woman's a lesbian if they reject your advances.
That's what they used to teach us at school. They say, look, if a woman rejects your advances, you call her a lesbian and you walk away. It's chivalry.
Also, what the fuck is the husband doing?
Yeah, well, we'll get to that.
All right, great. Meryl Darrell.
I mean, yeah. It is a bit rude ignoring your advances just by putting on headphones. So Meryl eventually held his hand up in front of her screen and told her to pause the movie. And a woman took off her headphones.
A man named Meryl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She realised that, well, she should have just shouted to this guy because it turned bad. She realised that Meryl had somehow smuggled something on board. What do you reckon it was?
I've got to say, it'll be a large bottle of duty-free booze.
No.
Oh.
It's a straight razor.
Oh, fucking hell.
Good on you, Jaden.
How'd he get that in?
Ah, well, TSA's got a bit to answer for here. If you end up with something like that in your hand, though, and you're not Sweeney Todd, you've got to do something drastic. I guess it's like the straight razor, inches from her neck, he's holding it.
Yeah.
And straight razor can mean a few.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Things. In this instance, though, it was wooden-handled straight edge razor, the fold out variety men used to have when they were actual men, not like us now. If you're not a barber, why would you own one? Like, you're not doing that to yourself, surely.
You don't just give yourself a shave like the African American dude in Predator?
Not with one of those things.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think they're lethal.
Yeah, and I've always been scared of them since that.
Ooh.
They got the apprentice on me maybe 4 or 5 years ago when I was in Sydney. I told you, it was in Coogee.
What were you doing?
He did the straight razor shave on me and then cleans me up. He goes, good to go, mate. No worries. I walk outside. A woman turns around and asks me for directions.
Starts crying.
He said, excuse me, do you know where? And she just stopped and she was just staring at me. I go, fuck, what's happening here? She said, I'm all right. And I said, oh, I'm not from here anyway. And she's walked off.
Yeah.
And then I get back to the hotel. No, so I'd ask her for directions. Get back to the hotel and I just see that blood is just all through my beard, all down my neck, on my shirt.
Brilliant. Nick the jugular.
Mate, he got that blue spray on me, quick sticks.
Yeah.
And I think he's seen the dots started to go red and he spun me around in that chair and gone, fuck off, see you later. Just sent me out wounded into the streets of
Coogee. You never know. You can't see your neck. Oof. This was a Facon, F-A-C-O-N, brand wooden-handled straight-edge razor. I mean, if you own one of those, you should be arrested immediately. If you're not a barber, you own one of them. You're up to no good. Meryl stood up and yelled, she's going to be okay, which, you know, it's nice of him. But he said, she's going to be okay. No one needs to worry. She would have been okay just watching the movie unmolested. But it's nice of him to threaten her and they let everyone know he was doing the right thing in the end. I love those guys. Proper thug talk. Now I'm looking after, got someone in a headlock in the playground. Now I'm looking after him. He's fine. I'll take care of him. Then he yelled at the woman's husband to get the fuck out of here. What do you reckon the husband did?
Oh, well, I don't know what these people look like. So...
Are you judging them just on appearances?
But, well, yeah, I'm going to see if they're going to punch on or get the fuck out. I'll assume get the fuck out because he hasn't said anything at the first advance.
Yeah, I reckon I'd lose a finger or three here but get the job done in the meantime one way or another. You've got to do something. Something's better than nothing.
We don't want to pretend to be Mark Wahlberg post 9/11 comments and
no,
say,
but also,
we'd save the day, but also, you can't let the guy hold the knife at your wife.
Well, the woman's husband, he got up and ran to alert a flight attendant while his wife lunged for the aisle or while Meryl tried to grab her by the shoulder but missed. I hope this never gets tested, but I don't know how that couple are going now. I'm sure she's made all the right noises. Oh, you did the right thing, darling. Well done. Running off to get help, leaving me alone with a lunatic with a razor. Deep down, I reckon there's some other feelings going on.
Mm.
Not one to judge. Who knows?
Oh, no, you're 100% correct.
Good luck to them as a couple. But
they'd be done already.
I'd say so.
This was what, last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already. They're going through divorce court.
Oh, I think her father would have said, as soon as they get back, why'd you leave my daughter with a fucking guy with a razor at her throat? Jesus Christ. I mean, who knows? These days there are men standing on stools with aprons squealing about a mouse on the loose while their wives sort it out with a broom. So who are we to say? I don't know. Brave new world. Not for us to judge, Nick. A passenger.
You'll appreciate this. I've told you that my son, either one of them go, spider. They don't even get the duh out.
Yeah.
And it's just a fist into the wall, carpet, glass.
Oh, you got to kill it.
And they go, yay. But my wife, because my wife's from country Victoria, she'll be like, oh, look at this beautiful creature. I'll get a jar and a piece of paper. I've already fucking headbutted it to death.
She's up having a close look of it and a fucking moccasin comes flying over her shoulder, smashing it into the wall. Get the chucks. Wipe the powder off the wall. If they weren't so quick and hard to catch, I'd put more outside, but I've killed them before trying to Tupperware them onto the wall.
Yeah.
Like you just whack a few eggs off while you're trying to get the bastards out of the house. They're fucking stupid. Just go, mate, take it easy. We can all win out of this. Nah, they're not having it.
See, I think that's where people get themselves in trouble when they put the spiders in the wee scenario.
Oh, what do you mean?
They're just things in my fucking house that are about to get punched.
Yeah.
It's not a wee situation. The wee is the kids and my wife and I. They're not in the wee. Let's all work together on this. Why don't we?
What about a huntsman, though? Do you get just big huntsman
it.
In?
I'll just fucking punch it. I'll punch. Stomp, punch.
Do you think a punch is more definitive? Do you think a spider is like, oh, this guy means business, he's punching? Do you get the same thing done with a slap or a shoot?
It's whatever limb is closest to the spider is what the spider cops.
You ever kicked a hole in the wall trying to get one?
No. Oh, no, on the wall. That's on the wall. It's the little punch.
Yeah, right.
Floor stomp, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to say how to kill spiders, but.
Yeah. A passenger named Rob was sitting across the aisle from them, saw the incident unfolding, and confronted Meryl Darrell Fackrell. He managed to convince Meryl Darrell to put the knife down on the seat next to him and sit down. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
And then Rob grabbed the knife, gave it to flight crew, and sat next to Meryl for the remainder of the flight. Rob needs more recognition here.
Yeah.
His name hasn't been released. Can't find him. He's not done a piece to camera like most of those wannabe heroes fucking do. Just got the job done.
By the way, it does say a lot about us that we never even considered that to be a possibility.
What, that some other man has to come in and sort it out?
No. The only two options I think we had in our head was you either lose a few fingers trying to punch the knife out of Meryl's hand or you're a coward.
Pretty much.
There was never talk to Meryl.
I'll tell you another solution, and prevention's better than cure here, is don't sit your wife next to a fucking dodgy bloke in the window. I'll just take the middle seat.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. He's not going to touch my fucking leg. He's not going to tell me to take my headphones off because he wants a conversation. I don't know. Slit my throat maybe. Not sure, but fuck. You put your wife between you and danger, you're a different kind of cat.
Well, to be fair, I'm sure when the bloke sat down, nobody knew that his name was Meryl Darrell.
Yeah, I would have checked. Do you have three stupid names? All right, I'll sit in the middle. I don't know. Just Rob made her feel safe, made her husband feel goodness knows what, diffuse the whole situation. when they landed, Merrill managed to have his status changed.
Status arrested.
And when he's being marched off, and I saw this footage, but the audio was shit, he's being arrested. Rob said, peace out. Like he's in fucking middle school. The aftermath was that Merrill was charged with carrying a weapon on an airplane.
Hold on. If anyone should be charged for that, it's whoever was at TSA at the New York airport.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're not completely blameless, but I wouldn't charge them for it, I think.
That's fucking bank error in your favour, I reckon.
Yeah. Oh, you think so? You're a, if it's not bolted down, it's mine sort of dude.
No. I just think, man, if I got, you didn't do your job.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. How far do you take that concept before people start taking responsibility for their own smuggling weapons onto planes business? I have to say, the new things they've got now at airports, and I've been catching a lot of planes the last couple of weeks, they are quite rigorous going through your bag, turning it around upside down on the screen and shit.
Oh.
How they'd miss something like that now, I don't know.
Oh, you mean those, the new X-ray machines? The one where you can just leave everything in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a much better idea.
Yeah.
I mean, morons are still having their way with holding up the queue, but not quite as much as they used to.
Daniel Sloss always had a great line about if you fly less than 4 times a year, you should have to check in at another airport.
Yeah. It is frustrating.
There's a different building, then they bus you over. Get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah. I was on a plane the other day, like a twin prop from Sydney to Canberra, and it's not pleasant.
Yeah, I thought, why aren't you on the Murray's? No, Murray's bus.
Oh, it's paid for by a corporate gig. Was not on my dime. In fact, rubbing shoulders with some famous people. Guess who?
Oh, really?
Queensland legend Origin player.
Gordon Tallis.
Better.
Wally Lewis.
As good. Same era.
Darren Lockyer.
No.
Nah.
Went into coaching.
Bennett?
No. Bennett wasn't a fucking Origin legend.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, fuck. No idea.
Mel Meninga.
Oh, smell my finger.
Yes. Mel.
Yeah, nice.
Second time I've seen him on a plane in the last 2 months.
The shortest lived run in Australian politics.
Australia's best ever politician. He's probably down there conducting politics. He's always in bloody Canberra. He's not just drinking milk down there. He's doing something. He's on some sort of advisory board. Who knows? Merrill, charged with carrying a weapon on an airplane, assault with a deadly weapon, which can hold a maximum sentence of 20 years in jail.
But as we always say, who knows? Sky crimes. Fuck. It's different week in and week out.
Merrill appeared in court 2 days later. His defense argued a lack of criminal record and a need for medical treatment should allow him to be released back to his parents' residence.
Merrill Darrell lived with his parents.
Yep.
Yeah.
At 45, yeah. I believe, 41.
Wrong'un.
JetBlue have released a standard management speak statement like usual, saying the safety of the crew and passengers is the utmost priority for the airline. Grow up. Love to hear a statement for once just saying, yeah, got the bastard. You know, hero jumped up, sorted out because he's big and not afraid. Good job, everyone. People are lunatics. Should have bashed him harder. Got a few hits in myself while I was at it. Things at home haven't been great. I'm a flight attendant. It's hard. People are rude. Glad to take it out on someone like Merrill Darrell. Fackrell. Nah.
God, sorry. I keep overlooking the Fackrell part.
Yeah. Just Fackrell's a beauty.
You got some fucking name when your first two make everyone else forget that your surname's Fackrell.
Judge Daphne A. Oberg denied this and ordered him to be held in custody. Before Daphne became a judge, Daphne was a defender. And once she was assigned the case of Ponzi schemer Rick Kober, you'd know him. He's a Salt Lake City real estate guru.
There we go.
There's your first and most definitive hint for where not to park your retirement cash with a fucking guru of any description. Rick.
We're talking the other way again. McConaughey. He's a guru now.
He is a guru.
He's a guru. And you know what he's picking up? Like the name of one of his own movies, Fool's Gold, mate.
Oh, yeah. What was Fool's Gold? It was a treasure hunt movie or some shit.
Yeah, him and I want to say Kate Hudson.
Yeah, I think it might have been. Is that Goldie Hawn's daughter?
Yes.
Yeah, it's her.
Finn and Tess, an estranged husband and wife, rediscover their passion and love when they embark on a quest to find a long-lost treasure.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey really, he was just doing, imagine giving all your money to the bloke from these chick flicks. Not saying he hasn't done some great stuff since, but it was a lot of back-to-back on the front of, back-to-back with the Sheila on posters.
Yeah, I know. He was,
Failure to Launch, Wedding Planner.
He's in Dazed and Confused. That was all right.
That was very good.
He was quite young there though, I think. Didn't know what he's doing.
Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. Well, he was in some great shit. True Detective, Interstellar, my favourite movie ever.
That's your favourite movie ever?
So, Interstellar. Oh, no, I just really like that. The Prestige, The Godfather.
All right.
Three odd ones, yeah.
What's the Pacino one that you got a poster of behind you there?
Scarface.
Scarface, that one as well.
Say hello to my lofre. Come on, how is that not a great movie? What other film in the history of films has a guy swearing at his wife in a restaurant, pointing at her and saying to all the other patrons, her womb is so polluted, I can't even have a fucking baby with her. Because his wife's womb polluted at a restaurant. Scarface right. Rules.
I stand corrected. That's a brilliant film based on just that. Rick, the Salt Lake City real estate guru, he got 14 years for ripping innocent people off. I'm amazed more people don't just hold enough of a grudge to go and kill a bloke like that. If that were me, I don't know if I'd have the restraint. If I were in decent shape as a 75-year-old and some greedy little shit managed to swindle my entire retirement fund, if I had one, I reckon I'd just cut my losses and find him and kill him. Who cares? Granddad's a jail kid, so starting to lose it anyway. Whatever. Why don't old men kill more? I don't know why that doesn't happen. Like it's, I mean, dementia's a plus, but besides that, I can't see why old men don't go out and settle more vendettas.
But I think something must happen when, you know, it's like when you're a 20-year-old and you look at parents and you're like, who the fuck would want to have kids?
Yeah.
Then one day you have kids and you're like, oh, yeah, it's a different phase of my life. I quite enjoy this.
Right.
It's like everyone says, when I get to 80, I'm fucking shooting heroin into my balls.
Yeah, I know.
And then no one's doing it. Why?
Yeah. I think a big factor is grandkids, because you want to spend some time with them, see them. If you haven't got them, like I hope things change because I will be in jail. My list is getting fucking long. I'm going to be a busy man in retirement.
I just love the idea of telling your kids that. It's like, hey, God, I'm not forcing you to have kids because I want to relive that time of my life again. I just don't want to go to jail.
Yeah.
And if you don't bring me some grandkids, I'm settling all vendettas.
Yeah. These are the people I'm going to kill. Some of them could be your friends, ex-boyfriends, whatever. I don't know. There's yet to be a final judgment on the case of Merrill Darrell that can be found on the internet. He was held, even though the defense said he should be given to his parents because he has no criminal record and he needs medical treatment. Daphne, the judge now, she said, nah, he's staying in the clink. The results I found out were sealed. Don't know how that works. I thought the freedom fries of information were the cornerstone of the greatest country on earth. You could just find that out. But
I've sealed that
I think if you're mental, you can, like people can get them sealed or something. I don't know what. I don't know how you can get them sealed. They're sealed. There's a website that somehow knows all these random details about Merrill. Couldn't find him anywhere else, but this site just had a list.
Really?
Of stuff about Merrill. Yep. Mostly it's just dates of all the redneck named uncles and shit dying. Merrill's parents' names are Bridget and Watt. I'll give you a fiver if you get the exact name.
Oh.
Of Merrill Darrell Fackrell's dad.
Oh. Merrill.
Full name?
Darrell Mackerel. Senior.
Nah, you got the Fackrell wrong. You said Mackerel. It's Merrill Darrell Fackrell Jr.
Oh, fucking, I'm an idiot.
His dad's Merrill Darrell.
So the dad's Merrill Darrell Fackrell
Jr. making our mate. The third.
And Grandpa, Merrill Darrell Fackrell Sr.
The first, yeah.
Wow.
Oh. Bridget Fackrell, his mum, is one of how many children?
Oh, let's say 12.
16.
Fuck.
He's got a brother, Merrill Darrell. He's got a brother 3 years his junior called Ricky.
By the way, losing that fiver then on such a dumb mistake, my teammate playing under 14s or under 16s in the finals, mate had the ball, got tackled. He got swung around and broke the tackle in front of goal, but the swing just put him off slightly and he ran and just fucking booted what he thought was a goal, but he kicked the
wrong
point.
Way.
No, he just kicked a point. He'd just been swung around in the tackle that he broke out of, sees two posts in front of him. He's that close that he goes, fucking, boof, just boots it. We're like, nice point, fuck it. Got replayed a lot.
Great. You start celebrating when he scored it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great.
And then the head in hands pretty quick.
A point's not bad.
That's it. That was my Merrill Darrell Mackerel.
Merrill Darrell Mackerel, yeah. You could add five crisp dollars in your pocket just then. And he's got a brother called Ricky Fackrell. In 1993, Ricky found Merrill Darrell, the third, in the bathroom after a Lortab overdose.
After a what?
Making Merrill Darrell, I did the mathematics, at the time, 12 years old. That's grim, isn't it?
And what was he on?
Lortab. It's an opioid.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, you want to know your 12-year-old's in a fair bit of pain to be getting them some fucking Lortab. It's like Vicodin.
Yeah, wow.
Like what a 12-year-old's been given opioids for. It's crazy.
Hydrocodone.
Yeah. Usual stuff.
Wow.
There was an interview with a bloke who was on the plane, a guy who took the video, and his name was Abraham. He took video of Merrill being escorted off the plane. And in the interview, talks about himself for a bit at the start of just with his 5 month trip around the world.
Oh.
He goes, I went to Troy. He's showing some photos to the interviewer. Took some photos of hot air balloons. You know,
based on the name, I have to assume Abraham's old, but
no.
Yep. Yeah. How old's Abraham?
He looked about 30 to me.
Fuck. And he's showing people through his travel photos.
Yes. Yep.
His Instagram, Abraham.
Well, he's showing an interviewer.
I figured this bloke was old, but not old enough that he's bad with technology. I was figuring he might be, you know.
They're on his phone. He's flicking through photos on his phone going, yeah, I was on a round the world trip. I was just on my way home to Salt Lake City and this is what happened. I know,
but the elderly would show off the photos.
Yeah, don't know. He's probably coaxed into it. You know, when
you
just get asked by journalists to do stupid shit, don't have the wherewithal to tell them to fuck off. He took some photos of shit and really brings home the reality of a lunatic on the plane with a straight razor showing someone your fucking holiday pics on TV. Does a fair bit of solo travel, the little fella. Had a look into Abraham. He's recently completed a trip to Southeast Asia on his own.
Oh. Someone's got to do it.
Loves Bangkok. I don't know about it myself. One night in that joint's enough for me. Last year, Abraham read 52 books. How would I know that, being that I'm not him? He put a picture of them all up on Facebook, didn't he? Why else would you even read? During COVID, and this will turn you around on Abraham, sounds like a bit of a dipshit so far, but Abraham adopted a family from Cambodia, recently managed to go and visit them and learn from them. And I read, it says, this is a quote from him, I feel lucky to know them. Take the K out of that and take the K out of no and rearrange a few letters. I thought it said, I feel lucky to own them.
How do you adopt a fat, like including the parents?
Fuck, I don't know. Just send them money, send them an envelope full of coins once a month or something. Anyway, we should round this out.
It's a lot going on here.
I know.
It's a fucking busy episode.
It is a little. Only little snippets, though. You couldn't find out too much detail about anyone or anything. Like it didn't really happen, but there's plenty of info on tiny little bits of it.
But it's nice that we can, just based on, you know, everything we've learned in the 160-odd eps so far and what we just know about humans, we can fill in the gaps, you know.
Oh,
how does the wife feel that her husband did fuck
allegedly.
All?
Yeah.
But how do we feel, you know? How do you think they feel? We know how they feel.
Yeah.
She allegedly fucking resents him. Yeah.
She's left him for a better bloke. If you search for Merrill Darrell Fackrell on Twitter or look at some of the comments on the news sites, it's just comment after comment of people giving him shit about his name, which must have shaped his life.
Oh, mate.
This is, I'll round out with a couple of quotes from internet users.
Oh, and by the way, I don't like when we take the same tone as the as the news article commentators.
Mm.
But there is something about his name, I think. That's why I talk about it in my stand-up. You've got to think about the kid's name.
Oh, very hard. Yeah.
I just imagine being in high school, you go, oh, you don't like me making fun of your name, do you? Well, why don't you go get fucking Merrill or Merrill to come down here?
Yeah.
Go call Merrill or his dad Merrill.
Yeah, gross. KT said, 9 months, and this is the name they came up with? No wonder he's a bastard. Exactly your theory.
Although I'm starting to think, if you're living at home at 45 and pulling out blades on planes, he might have only been cooking for four and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's not a 42-weeker coming out.
Or it's full term, but the mum didn't know, one of those ones.
Oh, drinking. Just drinking the whole
drinking,
time.
Drinking, smoking darts the whole time. Oh, shit, what's happening? Sean Cameron said, authorities should have arrested him and his parents on the name alone. I think that's a bit much myself.
Arresting a baby's pretty fun.
Arresting a baby based on their name.
Yeah. Just cut the umbilical cord and wrap it around their hands.
Whereas finally, Elon Musk is a fistula, in brackets parody. They said, if your name is Merrill Darrell Fackrell, it's over for you. So it makes you think, doesn't it?
It sure does. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Mid-Flight Brawl. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks to everyone that's supporting us over on the Patreon, patreon.com/midflightbrawl, for early access to episodes, early access to tickets for our live shows. And speaking of the live shows, Perth coming up, that's sold out.
That's gone.
Yeah, that's gone. And Newcastle, June the 3rd. And then Brisbane, July 13 or 14, July 14, live show up there in Brizzy. We'll see you next time. Thanks again for listening. Much appreciated. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Mid-Air Brawl. This is our very first episode. Heggy, you're already shaking your head.
It's Mid-Flight Brawl, dickhead.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, ready to go. The clap. Hang on, sorry, I fucked it. Clap.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.